One Man Family, winner of 47 national awards, a Carlton E. Morse creation. One Man Family, now in its 27th year, is dedicated to the mothers and fathers of the younger generation and to their bewildering offspring. In 60 seconds, we'll hear Chapter 5, Book 132 of the Barber Family Saga. But first, hear this. Did you know that the word candidate comes from a Latin word meaning white? In the early Roman days, a man running for a high office wore an all-white toga when appearing in public. The white toga was supposed to show that the wearer had only the purest of reasons for wanting to be elected. If he appeared in public without a tunic or shirt, that indicated he had nothing to hide as a candidate. Incidentally, the Romans voted by dropping small balls or pebbles into a box. A white one was a vote for the candidate. A black one was a vote against him. These balls or pebbles were called ballota, and from this Latin word we get our word ballot. Thanks to the Romans, another word was added to your political vocabulary. Today, conversation between two sisters. In the library of 264 Seacliff Drive, San Francisco, Hazel is on the phone with husband Dan Murray, once on the verge of being a chain store tycoon, but now reduced to one fairly shabby operation in Los Angeles.
Yes, Dan, I debated calling you because there's absolutely nothing you can do up here. Hank's as comfortable in the hospital as it's possible for him to be. What? Well, even he's not quite sure. He was driving in from the Sky Ranch on the Skyline Boulevard. You know how fog... Yes, his lights were barely penetrating the fog. Could hardly see the white line. When suddenly he thought he saw a girl in his headlights. Yes, walking. Well, he swerved, went over an embankment. Car turned over twice. No. No, I'm not crying. It's just a miracle he received only some broken bones. Dan, our 3 minutes must be... Yes, I am, Dan. I'm terribly lonesome for you. All right, my dear. I can be good, brave if you can. Yes, I'll let you know. Try. Now, why'd I say that? I'm a great help. Blubber over the phone. Hello? Oh, Margaret. You know, I sometimes almost forget I have a daughter. It's so long between... What? Oh, of course you're calling about Hank. But how'd you hear? Oh, the San Mateo paper. Greta? Still in Norway. You heard about Grandma Stephenson's death. Cousin Consider sent a cable. Consider Martin, CB. Yes, he's in Norway. When? Why, yesterday. No, the day before. Her funeral's tomorrow. I don't know when Greta'll come. Marriage? Well, Hank won't be marrying anybody for... My goodness, Margaret, how you do rattle on. Well, you're only 20 miles from San Francisco. Why don't you come home once in a while and catch up on the news? Oh, yes, I know, dear. I didn't mean to sound acid. Yes, I know. How is my grandchild? Oh, well, you run along. Of course. Bye. One daughter lost, later stolen. Stolen, I think. Well, we wanted her to marry well. Now who? Hello? Oh, it's you, Joan. No, your grandmother and grandfather are downtown. Should be home in the next half hour. Oh, well, that's okay, Aunt Hazel. It's just that Grandfather made a date with Johnny and Tina for the zoo. Uh-huh. Well, tell him to call when he gets in. Anything new on Hank? Oh, the poor boy. Oh, thank goodness it was no worse. Okay, Aunt Hazel. Bye. Oh, Zeppelin, tell the children their grandfather had to go downtown and he'll be a little late. Oh, never mind, Zeppelin. I'll get it. I'm right here. Well, hi, Mother.
Hello, Joan. I'll just come in for a minute.
Yes, I didn't think you'd be dressed to the teeth just to drop in on your daughter. Claudia, you're really dressed for big game.
Oh, stop it. Nicky and I are going to the English Consul's for cocktails. He'll drop by for me. Oh, by the way, what have you heard from Cousin Consider lately?
From CZ?
You seem to hear oftener than anyone. You keep permanent quarters on the second floor for him, so naturally.
Oh, of course. Well, he's in Norway. I hear he called Uncle Jack the other night. He seems to be standing by Greta during the difficult time of her grandmother's death.
Now, don't be cute, my dear. That's common family knowledge.
But, Claudia...
Oh, come now. He writes you every week. That also is common family knowledge.
Well, just merely where he'll be and when, so I can forward his mail.
There's something very curious going on over there in Norway since Grandma Stephenson's death, and I think you know what it is.
You're barking up the wrong tree this time.
Why did CZ call your Uncle Jack? What did he say to Jack that he passed on to Hank that sent him out on the skyline to end up in a wreck?
Mother, I've refused to ask myself those questions. I don't think it's any of my business.
We all know something queer is going on.
And I expect the quickest way to make Hank hate us is to insist on finding out. Uncle Jack knows, Uncle Paul knows, if there is anything to know. Why don't you ask them?
You really are exasperating when you set out to be.
Oh, let's don't quarrel, huh?
Of course not. Who's quarreling?
Good. And please, don't give anyone else the idea that I know anything. Oh, dear. More company.
It's all right, Zeppelin. I'm getting it.
Should be grandfather for the children.
Hi, Jones. Busy? What's the latest from Cousin Consider?
Oh, no. Stand right there a minute while I go cut my throat.
We'll return in just a moment to One Man's Family. Get the picture. A great many servicemen and women have completed their education while in the armed forces, through either USAFI correspondence and self-teaching courses, or by group study using USAFI material. However, in some instances, the completion of courses has suffered due to the absence of qualified teachers. But now USAFI is correcting that difficulty with the establishment of its telecourses. These are courses which have been filmed with outstanding teachers and professors, and which can be taken in addition to the regular USAFI correspondence courses. For example, if you are studying American Government 1, you can study that subject by taking Correspondence Course 475 and the telecourse of the same number. This filmed course and the others are presented in half-hour segments and can be shown on any standard 16-millimeter projector. You will find the courses interesting as well as informative. So see your education officer for details. Then, enroll with USAFI. And let a telecourse be your guide. In the living room of Joan's house, five doors up Seacliff Drive from the family home, is her mother, Claudia. At the front door is her sister, Penelope.
Well, that's a fine thing to say. I come to my sister's door and she wants to go cut her throat.
Oh, come on in. Claudia's in the living room.
Well, well, got here ahead of me, hmm? Hello, Nicky just drove up. Hi, Nicky.
Oh, Mother, Nicky's here.
Coming.
Well, he certainly didn't wait that.
Oh, Penny. Mother, you look an angel in that. Wait till I tell Kathy. Mm, she was so right. Sea green is your color.
Well, if both my daughters approve.
She and Nicky are on their way to knock the eyes out of the English consul.
Atta girl, Mom. I expect to see Mrs. English consul in the shop tomorrow morning.
Coming, Nicky.
Well, I've got to go. I certainly hope one of my daughters isn't holding out on her mother.
Bye, Mother. Give the dress a good showing.
You two sales girls. Bye.
Now, shall we go inside and dish the dirt?
I warn you, Penny, you're wasting your time.
I'll chance it. Now then, Joan, look me straight in the eye and tell me you don't know what's happening in Norway.
I don't know what's happening in Norway.
Hey, you are pretty convincing at that.
Oh, this is silly, Penny. In the first place, why should Cousin Consider have been so secretive with Uncle Jack and Uncle Paul if he was going to write it all out to the other members of the family? In the second place...
I know. If he did write you in confidence, who are you to spread the information?
Exactly.
Well, it looks like I'm going to have to make a few discreet inquiries. It just happens our European buyer is up in the Scandinavian Peninsula.
Oh, you wouldn't do such a thing, Penny.
You don't think so?
Well, I can tell you one thing. I do know this. You start meddling in Hank's affairs, and I can assure you, you'll win his undying enmity.
I got what I wanted, so you do know.
Oh, you're a pretty cute character, Penny. No wonder people get fed up with large families. You're always talking about nosy families. Well, look at you.
Who's nosier than Penny, hmm?
You asked it. Suppose you answer it.
You really mean it would hurt Hank?
Oh, you're a little fiend.
Well, would it or wouldn't it?
Would you care?
Certainly. I've never intentionally hurt anyone in the family. Not when it would cut deep.
It would cut deep, all right.
Clear to the heart?
I've said everything I'm going to say. Oh, excuse me.
Shirley.
Hello? Overseas? Oh, just a moment, operator. I want to get on another phone. Penny, I'm going in the other room and close the door. Can I trust you to hang up that receiver and leave it hung up when I call you?
Why, Joan, of course.
I don't think I'll take the chance. Zeppelin! Zeppelin, will you come down here?
More of the Barbers in just a moment. Did you know that an American citizen was once arrested for trying to vote? In 1872, 47 years before the adoption of the 19th Amendment, Susan B. Anthony was one of the leaders of women's rights in America. It was in that year that she entered a New York polling place and insisted that, as an American citizen, she be allowed to vote. But she was arrested, taken to court, and fined $100 and the cost of prosecution. Susan Anthony refused to pay either, and insisted that she would continue to fight against unjust and unconstitutional laws, which, as she put it, tax, fine, imprison, and hang women, while denying them the right to representation in the government. Because of public sentiment in her favor, she never did pay her fine. Through her fight for the privilege to vote, Susan Anthony added an important page to your political history.
Joan, in the small study across the hall from the living room with the door closed, picks up the phone and calls...
All right, Zeppelin, hang up in there. All right, operator, I'll take the cablegram now. Trondheim, Norway. Yes. Paul, Jack, and Hank have very wrong conception of what is happening here. Yes. Am flying home with Greta after funeral tomorrow. Yes, operator. Can you have spare room ready for Greta, aside from my own quarters? Say nothing to anyone else. Signed, Cousin Consider. Oh, yes, operator, I would like to send a reply. Just say, everything will be ready. Love, Joan. Yes, and charge it to this address. Thank you. Oh, brother, am I glad I put Zeppelin guard on that phone.
One Man's Family, which comes to you Monday through Friday, is written and directed by Carlton E. Morse and features J. Anthony Smythe, Bernice Berwin, Paige Gilman, Russell Thorson, and Mary Adams. One Man's Family has been selected to be heard by our armed forces overseas through the worldwide facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. In Chapter 6, Book 132, Late Bulletin for the Last Man in Line. One Man's Family, winner of 47 national awards, now in its 27th year, is a Carlton E. Morse production and comes to you from California.
One Man's Family has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.